The search for the elusive Northwest Passage over Canada began 500 years ago, and it claimed the lives of thousands of mariners due to the extreme conditions and ice-covered sea. It's still not really a viable route, but an alternative passage across the top of Russia looks much more promising. And thanks to rising global temperatures, it's becoming increasingly viable. The Northeast Passage connects China and East Asia to Northern Europe. It reduces the sailing distance significantly compared to the Suez Canal route. This part of the passage, known as the Northern Sea Route, is controlled by Russia. Melting sea ice due to climate change is making it more accessible for shipping. The latest climate projections predict the Arctic will have its first ice-free summer as early as 2035. And Russia is turning this into a major geopolitical advantage and has already made vast investments in the region. It's built military bases, opened up oil fields, and begun extracting other natural resources.
Russia today has a unique, I want to emphasize this, unique fleet, the largest icebreaker fleet in the world. And this is a huge competitive advantage. There are colossal opportunities for the development of logistics industry, the creation of new jobs for the comprehensive development of Arctic cities and towns.
The route may also give China a strategic advantage. It could reduce the travel time for Chinese goods to Europe by 2 weeks, a saving of around $1.8 million per ship. Chinese vessels can also bypass the areas where the US has a huge Navy presence. And Houthi attacks on Western ships in the Red Sea have also disrupted shipping through the Suez Canal, which makes alternative routes even more viable.
Well, that was a report from Newsmakers, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Something, well, I don't think I've ever talked about, and that's the Arctic. It's the North Pole. It's a place where Santa goes, right? No, it's a very intriguing place, and it's become the center of yet another controversy. And so we're going to be talking about that today and about things that, you know, I can hardly talk about because I don't even know the words, the destinations, you know, that it's just a very complex ecosystem, very complex world. And China and Russia are now very much in competition together against us to sort of assert power in that region. And it's dangerous for a number of reasons. And that will be our discussion today on Sandy Rios 24/7. But first, abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year in 2023, despite the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Tragically, this total is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death combined. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at an even greater risk now. And that's why we work with Preborn to try to stop this in, I think, the most beautiful way possible, and that is by showing women the image of their baby in their womb and letting them decide for themselves that that life is more precious than their freedom or whatever it is that they think they're choosing over the life of the baby. They do it so beautifully, and that's why we ask you to go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And make your most generous donation. And one last thing, Preborn, by the way, has a 5-star charity rating. So you can give to them with confidence. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. Our home base is AFR.net. That's AmericanFamilyRadio.net. But all other podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, whatever you like, Amazon, whatever you listen through, we are there. You can find us on social media, all the platforms. You can follow me on X and my Twitter handle. Isn't that lovely? I remember when they used to start saying that, I thought it was so funny. I could hardly bring myself to saying it. And now I'm saying it. It's at Sandy Rios Tweet. That's at Sandy Rios Tweet. Well, I think you are going to learn something today. I certainly did. We're going to be talking to a pilot, a guy whose whole family's been in Alaska since the late 1890s. It's a good discussion on this new danger to us and also some great hope. So stay tuned. for this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
An easy maritime route between the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans has long been a dream for countries surrounding the Arctic Circle, especially for Russia. But miserable conditions during much of the year mean the Northeast Passage connecting East Asia to Europe has never become a major commercial shipping route. That could be about to change. Russia and China are looking to increase cooperation to make the passage viable. Global warming is helping, but so could an upgraded fleet of Russian-made nuclear-powered icebreakers.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. We're going to stretch our minds a little bit this morning, but it is very important. And the world is getting smaller. Things that are happening in, all over the globe are having more effect on each of us because of the technology, because of our abilities, because of language barriers being broken. And so the Arctic, of course, is that little patch of ice. I'm going to read this to you. This is from Wikipedia, so it must be true, right? It's the Arctic, which is the name from the Greek word bear, is a polar region located at the northernmost part of the Earth. Traveling east using the IERS reference meridian, it consists of parts of northern Norway, northernmost Sweden, northern Finland, Russia, the United States, Canada, I don't understand this because that can't be possible. We don't touch them. I'm not sure what that meant. But a land within the Arctic region has seasonally varying snow and ice with predominantly treeless permafrost under the tundra. Okay, so that's where we're going to go for this discussion. And we're going to be talking about an article and a subject matter that our next guest has written. It's called America Must Win, The Race to the Arctic and Alaska is the Key. Well, Bob Griffin joins us this morning. Bob is a future 49 board member whose family has lived in Alaska since 1899. I don't think Bob is that old, but his family started out that early. He flew the A-10 and the F-15 for the Air Force and Alaska Airlines and has served on the Alaska State Board of Education and as chair of the Budget Advisory Commission for Anchorage. He is also the Senior Education Research Fellow for the Alaska Policy Forum and a member of its board of directors. And with all of that, Bob, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. Happy to be on with you to talk about this this critical subject that's so important to Alaskans and Americans in general. You know, the Arctic is such a critical region, and you kind of pointed out some of the stats there that now that there's less sea ice up to the northern route, the northern sea route through connecting the west coast of the United States to the Europe or the east coast, it's about a 30 to 40% shorter journey than having to go through the Panama Canal, and the same thing for Europe going to Asia. It can save hundreds of thousands of dollars in fuel costs. And it's going to be a very important aspect, along with all the other resources that are available in Alaska to be exploited, not only hydrocarbons, but, critical minerals and timber and fishing, all sorts of things.
Okay. Well, let's back up just a little bit before we kind of lay out what you've written about, because I think it's important, too, Bob, or I wouldn't have invited you to join me. I'm really glad I got this information. But I was reading about Antarctica, which is the other pole. It's the South Pole. This is the North Pole, right? Correct me now, because this is all new turf for me. You know, other than reading stories and stuff, I'm not a scientist, and if I mislabel something, please correct me. But can you describe the Arctic? The Antarctica is just totally ice, except that it, you know, it's warming also and the ice is breaking up. We know that lots of countries are down there, including the United States of America. But is the Arctic bigger or smaller than Antarctica? Do you know?
I think they're similar in size. The big difference being is the Arctic Pole is basically a ice covered ocean, where of course Antarctica is a very large continent that's mostly locked up in ice and glaciers for most of the year. So that's the big difference. You know, we look at the northernmost point in Alaska. Point Barrow is still a significant distance from the North Pole, and that's probably the biggest difference is it's a very large ocean that's north of the United States. It's 700-800 miles farther north of the northernmost point of Alaska to get to the North Pole.
You know, for most of us, it's just a spot on the globe. It's unimaginable, really. This is a whole different universe. Speaking on Earth. First of all, Antarctica, I know there was a treaty after World War II that no one really owned it. No one could, you know, had a right to it, but several countries are there, 50, 60 maybe, including the United States, doing research. But how about the Arctic? Is there, who owns it? I mean, you know, I know, but does anybody have ownership, power? Is anybody more dominant than another rightfully from international law, or is it just a Wild West?
Well, there are coastal regions that nations claim, you know, certain distances off their coast. Very difficult to enforce a lot of those things because there's just not a lot of opportunity for enforcement. So I'm sure those coastal limits are infringed upon on a pretty regular basis, but the vast majority of the Arctic is pretty much the Wild West as far as it goes for those types of enforcement.
So you touched on this, but I want to use your words. You now, this is an article that has been it's in the Washington Times. And the title is America Must Win the Race to the Arctic, and Alaska is the key. We're going to get to Alaska in just a second. But, Bob, you write in this, just to restate, the U.S. Geological Survey estimates that the Arctic contains 15% of the world's untapped oil reserves and a whopping 30% of the world's undiscovered natural gas. Beyond that, the region has an abundance of critical minerals, rare earth elements, and other precious and base metals, the development of which is essential for our economic growth and national defense. That's a mouthful. That's a mouthful. So that, isn't it interesting, Bob, that two places that really are not habitable by humans except by artificial means would contain such rich, useful things to human beings? Isn't that kind of ironic?
It is ironic, and technologically, and you know, with a little bit of global warming help there, and technologically, we're able to reach some of those resources that weren't available before in the past. And again, one of the critical elements of that is being able to reach it, and technology like icebreakers, as alluded before earlier in the piece. You know, Russia, I think, operates a fleet of 57 icebreakers. I think the United States has five, and of course the Russian icebreakers are, some of them are twice as big as our biggest icebreakers, nuclear powered, and so that's something we're playing a little bit of catch up on as well, to be able to exploit the resources in that area. The good news is that beyond the Northwest Passage and the Northern Passage, Alaska has access to all those other resources. I think Senator Dan Sullivan really pointed out recently, there's no real reason to acquire Greenland because, you know, Alaska, we basically have all those same resources. We have 49 of the 50 most desired rare earth metals that are available in Alaska, along with huge, abundant quantities of hydrocarbons, and it's not that hydrocarbons are going to be developed somewhere in the world. That Alaska that we probably do have the greatest stewardship of the environment of any place in developing. As we always joke about going up onto the North Slope of Alaska, that there's probably more oil spilled in the parking lot of the Piggly Wiggly than there is on the North Slope of Alaska, because we are so careful about how we develop our resources there.
Is anybody currently in Alaska trying to develop those things? Is there any drilling or whatever you do to get minerals out? I'm not sure. I guess you'd have to drill. Is there anything in process there now? Is it just pristine?
Well, there's we have recently been cleared for some drilling in parts of the Arctic, and it's funny, the regions that we're cleared to drill in, that the litigation that goes on, you would think that we're just devastating the pristine area, but when you look at the area that was most recently approved, it's a little bit less than 10% of the size of the JFK airport. In an area that's a little bit bigger than Indiana, so the context is, a lot of people down in the lower 48. I don't really think they understand the absolute scale of what's going on. You know, in a state that's twice the size of Texas and has 46,000 more miles of coastline than the entire lower 48 United States.
You are definitely right to think that we don't understand that. This is just, like I said, this is like this is another universe located on our planet that we're just not familiar with. You are, because you grew up in Alaska. But one thing I'm not too clear about, Bob, you mentioned, are you saying that the territory of Alaska adjoins or overlaps the Arctic? Not really. You're not saying that, are you? You're just, it sounded like you were, but you weren't. Were you?
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. The territory of Alaska, there's a large portion of Alaska, probably a quarter of the state that lies above the Arctic Circle in the Arctic, along the Beaufort Sea and the Bering Sea, which are the primary routes for the Northern Passage that bypass the Suez and Panama Canal. It's about 4,500 miles shorter, going that route than it is to have to go through those choke points as well, at the Suez Canal or the Panama Canal.
Okay, so we own that. I mean, the United States owns that. And just to clarify, you're talking about, I think, an executive order by President Trump to drill in Alaska, or whatever the word would be. I don't know if it would be drilling. Is that what you're speaking about that's just changed?
Right. Yeah. No. We're so pleased in Alaska, because essentially we've been released from the sanctions, the dozens of sanctions essentially that were placed on the development in Alaska by the previous administration, and we're so thankful that under the Trump administration that we're seeing the lifting of those sanctions, and the anti-business and anti-energy regulations that have been thrust upon us in an economy that, we have the capabilities and the workforce and the understanding to develop all these resources, not only for Alaska, but for all the other folks in the lower 48. We're abundantly thankful that the Trump administration is finally releasing us from that wide variety of sanctions that we were put under.
So actually, now we've jumped to the good news, because that is really good news. Because now we understand better, because President Trump has been talking about those rare earth minerals in Ukraine and also in Greenland. I think Greenland. And so we have a better understanding of why we need that technology, for computers and for the cars and all kinds of things. So and we own this because Alaska is part of us. So that's kind of good news. But let's go back to the kind of worrisome news, which is kind of the title of your article, and you describe in here, and I remember this, but not well, in August of 2023, Russia and China did sort of a joint effort where they sent warships through the passage you're talking about into the Pacific. They went right close to Alaska's Aleutian Islands. We don't really know what that means. So describe to me what I just read that you wrote.
Yeah, well, there's been these joint exercises, and it's very concerning, between the Chinese and the Russians' warships, and we've had NORAD's intercepted Chinese bombers and Russian bombers. The Russian bombers, we've been doing that for a long, long time, even back in the Soviet Union days. That was part of what I was doing for a living in the F-15 years and years ago. But the cooperation with the Chinese is something that's new. You know, when they're sending nuclear capable bombers close to American airspace, and the fact that they're cooperating has been very, very concerning. And I think as always, Alaska is one of the it's been a very strategic, critically strategic area. For the United States, where the mainland of Alaska is only about 50 miles away from the mainland, and in Russia, we actually have a couple of islands that are very, very close together. But when you look at our distance to Russia, it's very, very close.
Well, yeah, we all know that because of Sarah Palin, right? And she could see Russia from her house. So said Saturday Night Live, and they attributed it to her. Yeah, I can see Russia from they really made much of that. But it was true. I mean, not that she could see it from a kitchen window, but that's how close you guys are to Russia, which that brings up all these thoughts in my head about how Russia is expanding territory, as we know. It'd be interesting if they thought they could take Alaska, and maybe that'll be a conversation for 30 years from now. But, Mob, that kind of explains. There are several considerations here about why the Arctic is so important, and we're touching on the national security issue right now. But also, you talk about the trade route, and you said, what is it, saves 4,000 miles or something like that if you go through that route?
Yeah, it's about 4,500 miles shorter, and there are some estimates that on the average cargo ship, it saves probably $180,000 in fuel, and avoids those choke points that you don't have to line up for the Suez Canal or Panama Canal, or worry about either one of those being closed down for political or accident reasons. Again, it's with the longer season, with the less sea ice, it's a much more viable route than it used to be, and should have a huge impact on world trade.
Yeah. Is that the same as the Northern Sea Route? Is that the same?
It is
that the route you're talking about? Okay,
yeah,
so I was just reading that Russia is, like, dominating that sea route. Do you agree with that? Because I don't know. I mean, how would I know? Does Russia dominate that passage?
They sure do, in that much of the time it requires, icebreakers to make your way through that northern route, and they have a little bit more than a 10-to-1 advantage of us and icebreakers, and that's something that we've been working on, and our congressional delegation has been working very hard on to expand the icebreaker capabilities to be able to exploit that during the times when the sea's not completely open.
All right, so there's oil and gas and minerals. And then you just said that you have, I think you said, that Alaska has that same capability, that this treasure trove of oil and gas and minerals. So do you see, is the United States looking for any of those things in the Arctic, or should we be content with what Alaska has?
Yeah, I think that offshore drilling, there's some opportunities for exploiting those offshore drilling opportunities, especially since we already have infrastructure that gets up pretty close to some of those areas. We have airfields and roads and the pipeline, of course, that goes up to Prudhoe Bay, that could be a dropping off point for exploiting those resources. In the Arctic, there's not too many places in the world where that infrastructure exists, except in Alaska.
Well, Russia's only 53 miles away, but that's from a certain point. I guess they would be pretty close, too. Not as close as you, but they probably, it's easier for them than China, right? I would think.
Yes. Of course, China is not an Arctic country, but the close cooperation, the recent close cooperation with Russia is the thing that's concerning on a militarily and strategic level. China is actually building a lot of icebreakers as well to try and exploit those resources. I think it's critically important that the United States that we continue to invest and focus in this area, just because of the economic impact it would have globally.
So we are already in Antarctica. We've got a pretty good presence there. But do we have a presence in the Arctic Circle, meaning the United States?
We do. The United States has a strong military presence in the Arctic. We probably need to beef that up. That's something our congressional delegation has been working hard on. We have some pretty major military installations up here in Alaska that have... And the expansion of our air defenses and our ground force capabilities have we've been working on those for a while to defend these Arctic regions and have those capabilities.
So, is there any international law of sorts that would have prevented, if it were being enforced, Russia and China from coming through that area? I guess it's the northern sea route, breaking up the ice, working in this joint venture so close to the United States. Is there any breach of international protocol that they conducted there, or is it perfectly okay?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any breaches of any international law that's been going on right now. But again, as I pointed out, it's an area that's very difficult to enforce and patrol, just because it's such a large area and so remote.
But I guess I'm reading something into this I shouldn't, then. That's why I'm asking you. So were they kind of pushing the boundaries, or do you think that was just business as usual? I got the impression it was kind of pushing the boundaries, and also to come so near to the Aleutian Islands in Alaska was a pretty bold move. I mean, isn't that bolder than they have been in the past?
We've seen some bold things even back to the Soviet Union days, with a lot of incursions getting close to U.S. airspace that have required us to intercept them with American fighters from bases in Alaska. I think the thing that's most concerning right now is the cooperation with the Chinese that we've seen recently. Yes, that's the operations in the Aleutians with the Russian and Chinese warships, very concerning. Something that we haven't seen for years, if at all, that I can recall. But the probing by the Soviet and later on Russian bomber fleets has been ongoing ever since the beginning of the Cold War.
You know, I think one thing that people are waking up to, I've traveled a lot, so I have some understanding of this, but how vast the world is and how interconnected, you know, because the amazing thing to me, and this is a political statement, I know you didn't call me to talk about politics, but how President Trump understands this global link to everything, how he's thinking about Alaska, and he's thinking about, you know, Greenland, and he's thinking about Romania. And putting all these pieces together and understanding the interacting pieces and how important it is to have a presence for good, a restraining force around the world. And I think that's what you're asking for. Is there anything else, Bob, that you want that we haven't touched on?
No, and I just want to reiterate, how thankful we are that again, we've been relieved from some of the sanctions that were put on Alaska's development. And as Alaskans, we're looking forward to, you know, assisting the rest of our comrades down here in the lower 48 in resource development and the defense of the our northern border.
You didn't really mean comrades, did you?
No.
When you said that,
tongue in cheek.
Yeah. All right. No, I couldn't resist since you're talking about Russian oppression, and I just got through talking to people in Romania this morning. So, anyway, I'm just teasing you, Bob. All right. So the article is America must win the race to the Arctic, and Alaska is the key. And you can find it at WashingtonTimes.com. And I'm sure that Bob would love it if you would read the article and share it. Maybe you know some people in national security that would be interested in this, or some people in drilling and natural resources. It's all open wide. So, Bob, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Preborn has a passion for saving unborn babies from abortion and seeing women come to Christ. Over the past 18 years, Preborn clinics have counseled over 500,000 women considering abortion, and more than 300,000 babies have been saved, and over 80,000 women have come to Christ. Now that's real life. You know, that's eternal life. That's what we want for their babies too eventually. Every day, Preborn Network Clinics rescues 200 babies from abortion. If you would like to join our effort to stop abortion and reach women for, you know, for eternal life, that's really what they're doing. That's what I'm doing, too. It's a mutually agreed upon mission. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Russia and China seek a trade advantage in the Arctic. Once impossible to navigate, an easing Northeast Passage could provide an alternative to routes in the Indian Ocean and the Red Sea. As global warming reduces pack ice and lengthens the summer season, will Beijing and Moscow build a polar Silk Road?
All right, Sandy Rios with you. I thought that was really interesting, that discussion with Bob. And that was another report from Newsmakers. Who knew, you know, that China and Russia were working together on this? And so you think about the repercussions of that. We're talking about the Panama Canal, which we built, and President Trump has clearly stated we're going to take back because we lost thousands of men trying to build that and spent tons of money. And then Jimmy Carter sold it to Panama for $1. And then Panama turned around and gave the rights to it to China, and they have the ports on either end. In fact, the signs as you pass through the canal are in Chinese. Well, they've been taken down now because of the heightened awareness of their involvement and control of that important trade route. Goodness, how do these things happen? People, you know, I think of Ronald Reagan saying that freedom is only one generation from being lost. We have to teach our children. And I think there's a theme here. So we have to be vigilant. And we live so comfortably that it's really simple to just kind of tune out and take things for granted. But we really can't do that. You could lose things in an instant, any moment. The things that you have, the life that you have, The freedoms that you have could be taken away. That's what Ronald Reagan was talking about. And so with this issue, it's good to know about this. And isn't it a blessing to have a president who's watching the world? He's looking around and trying to figure out where the trouble spots are and do what he can with American resources to stop it. So that's what we'll be encouraging. It sounds like he's already involved in this. And for that, we are very grateful. Well, before we say goodbye, I want to thank Timothy Plan, because they teach you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-10-PLAN. That's 1-800-10-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.